Thank you, Stéphane. Well, first of all, I would like to. I think the microphone is okay, but. I would like to thank Stéphane, Monique, and Tom for organizing this conference and for letting me present my work. Well, it's a joint work with Stéphane and Abdallah Rahal. This talk will be divided in two parts. In the second part, Abdallah will present the numerical application of this talk. In the first part, I will present the theoretical framework and the theoretical convergence results. To price game option, we are going to use reflected BSDs. The outline of my talk will be as follows. First, I will recall or present the definition of BSDs. Quickly recall that it's a good tool for pricing and hedging. I will also present the discretization of the BSDs. I will present the American option and game option case. It is reflected BSDs, and these are the building blocks we use to treat the case of game option with call protection. Okay. First, we consider SDE, forward SDE X, given by this equation. Well, we all know that it starts at zero, and X zero is none. What is a backward stochastic differential SDE? It is given by this equation. The main difference is that we know the terminal condition, but we want to know the value of Y and also Z between zero and capital T. Okay? Well, if you take F equal to zero, so forget this term, well, it is just a conditional expectation at time T of G and of X T. Here you use the Martingale representation theorem to obtain Z. Then you can add a driver function, which can depend on Y or Z and also X. In my talk, F will always be Lipschitz. In finance, I recall the equation here. In finance, BSDE are interpreted as follow. G is the payoff of an European option. X is the asset price. Y represent the price of the option, and Z is almost the delta of the option. You can have a specific example for F. If you take F affine in Y of this form with R the interest rate, that means that you are pricing under the risk-neutral probability. But you can consider also affine F affine with respect to Y and Z, and while you are pricing under the historical probability. You can also consider nonlinear F, so you can take into account some market imperfection like higher rate for borrowing than lending money. Okay, there is also a link with PDE. Y can be represented as follows, and U is the function, is the solution of the following PDE with terminal condition G. This is quite well known when F is linear. When F is nonlinear, it's the Feynman-Kac representation, and it has this form. So this is clearly if you are able to compute Y, you have, well, on a financial point of view, a way to compute the price of your option. Well, more you are also able to compute the value u of the solution of the PDE. So it should be very interesting to be able to compute numerically the value of y and z. So that's why you need to do that. You need an approximation scheme, and that's what I'm going to present now. Alors, first, of course, you are approximating stochastic processes, so you need to approximate the underlying processes. So it's x, and to do that, you use a classical Euler scheme. The approximation grid is pi, and between two time step of the grid, you have this delay of order 1 over n, and then the error between x and x pi is very well known, and is controlled by square root of m. So now I will give the main idea to retrieve the scheme for the BSD. So you write down the BSD between two time steps of the grid, and you approximate x, of course, by x pi. Then you approximate this integral by this quantity, and this integral by this quantity. So you have an approximative equality here. And you construct your backward scheme. Y pi is the approximation of y is obtained when you take the conditional expectation of this approximate equality. And bar z pi is the approximation of z, and to obtain it, you multiply this equation by an increment of the Brownian motion, and then you take the conditional expectation. Okay, this is a backward scheme, so you need a terminal condition, which is well natural, and this is a dynamic programming approach to compute y and also bar z pi, and here you can see that it's an implicit scheme, but it's not a problem because f Lipschitz, and this quantity is going to be very small. And you can even use an explicit scheme, it will also work. And the last point is that here I have still a theoretical conditional expectation. So in practice, you have to use an estimator to compute this quantity. And for example, linear regression, which will be presented a bit by Abdallah, and so in practice, what do? You simulate x pi, your scheme for x, and then you compute backward in time the value of y and bar z. Okay, so you can introduce a continuous version of the scheme. And we are interested in the following error, a strong error for y, between y and y pi, and L2 error for processes between z and bar z pi, which is a bit weaker. And note the results, the main results. First, for the control of the error, the error is controlled by the error done on x and two regularity terms on the true solution that you try to approximate. This is not surprising. You need some regularity on the true solution to be able to approximate it. And this also is not surprising that the regularity of z is control the regularity of y, because z is more or less the derivative of y. So, and the main result was obtained by Zhang. He proved that the regularity is controlled by square root of m, and then Bouchard et Touzi using Bouchard and 2D results, you are able to obtain the convergence rate of the scheme, which is of order square root of m. So these are the basic results for the non-reflected case. And now we'll be studying the reflected case. So first, the American option case. So to price American option, we use here the framework of simply reflected BSDEs. So what is a simply reflected BSDEs? Well, it's a standard BSDEs which is constrained to be above a lower boundary Lx, and it satisfies the following equation. So this is the standard BSDE equation, and here you add another term where k plus is an increasing process, positive, and in fact it forces the solution y to be above the boundary Lx, and this is done in a optimal way, and this is what represents this equality, and that means that essentially k plus is active only when y touches the boundary. Okay, if you take f equal to 0, you recognize an optimal stopping problem because y is then the take l equal to g also, y is then the Snell envelope of l, and of course so it is clear that it is linked to American option pricing. It has been proven by El Karoui and his co-authors, and z in this case is also almost the delta of the option. We also need to price game option, so we use a doubly reflected BSD, so it's more fun because you add another reflecting process because you add another constraint on the price process. You want that the price process stands below an upper boundary given by h of xt, and this is done in a minimal way thanks again to this equality. So here also y is the price of the game option, and z is the aging portfolio of the game option until the first time y touches the upper boundary. Okay, and so we have the theoretical tools, reflected BSDEs, and these tools are linked also to PDEs, or variational inequalities. So once again, you have y as a function of t and xt. In the simply reflected case, you have this well-known variational inequality, and in the doubly reflected case, you add another term because there is another boundary, and you obtain a Feynman-Kac representation, also a bit more complicated for the u. So once again, it's very interesting to be able to compute the numerically the process y and the process z. Oh, can we do that? I will first show you in the essence of the reflected case. When we are dealing with one boundary, we put f equal to 0 and l equal to g. So we have this very simple reflected BSDE, which is the representation of the Snell envelope of the process LXT. So to approximate this processes y and z, first you change x into x pi, and then y pi will be simply the discrete Snell envelope of L x pi ti, well ti belongs to pi, and using once again a dynamic programming approach to compute the Snell envelope, it's given by this relationship, where here you choose between the expected value of YPy, and if it's below the boundary R, then you set the value, the next value of YPy to the value of the boundary. And I will not tilde YPy the value of the expected value of YPy. So in a sense, you project in the algorithm, you project tilde YPy on the boundary LXPy if it's below the boundary. Okay, it's very simple. Here we do this projection on each time of the discrete time approximation grid pi, but we could do that only on a subset of pi if we wanted. It helps to obtain the best convergence rate. Okay. So what is the scheme in general for reflected BCDs? So you have the discretization of the reflection on the grid R and the approximation grid pi. You start once again from the terminal condition, and then here you use the scheme for the non-reflected BCD. We saw it's the same that we saw on the previous slide, and you just add this equation to take into account the constraint. So in the simply reflected case, you have to be above Lx, and in the doubly reflected case, you have to be between Lx and Hx. So if you above Hx, you just projected on Hx. Okay. So here are some results for the convergence the convergence of the scheme to the true value of the solution. This is to give you an idea of what you can get. If F is independent on D, and say L, B, sigma are Lipschitz, you have a bound for the convergence rate of order square root of n. The point is here is that F does not depend on Z. And this was done by Bailey and Pages. And if F depend on Z, this case was treated by Ma and Zhang, you have this convergence rate, but you need a bit more regularity to obtain the convergence. So, well, I work with my former PhD supervisor, Bruno Bouchard, on this topic, and we were able to retrieve the result of Ma and Zhang with less regularity on the boundary and on the coefficient of the diffusion. And we were able to retrieve the results of Bailey and Pages, but with more regularity on sigma and the boundary. So what you see is there is a problem if F depends on Z, and of course you need some regularity on the boundary to retrieve the good convergence rate. This is the main idea. In the doubly reflected case, while you consider the boundary say semi-convex, you are able to obtain also a convergence rate for the approximation to the solution. So maybe just a word on the proof, the techniques, because it's quite efficient, in fact. So you use a proxy for the continuously reflected BCDs, and this proxy is, in fact, a Bermudian option. So we called it discretely reflected BCDs. And you work on this, once you prove that this Bermudian option is a good approximation of the continuously reflected BZ on the true American option. When you work on this Bermudian option, and to retrieve the convergence results, you need to have regularity results on the Z part and on the Y part also. And on the Z part, you prove a representation for the Z part. So And with this representation, you are able to obtain the regularity result. So let me comment just quickly the representation. So here we forget about this parameter. Here you can recognize the Malievan derivative of x. So it's a bit complicated, but not so complicated. And here what is important is that you have the gradient of the boundary. And tau j is the optimal stopping time for the discrete problem. Okay, so what is nice also with this formula, if you are able, say, to compute x and this term, to simulate this term also, well, then you have another n. You are able, thanks to the scheme, to obtain an approximated value of tau j. You are able to obtain a new formula to compute an approximation of z. Okay. And this is kind of a lot of fast representation of the delta of the option. Okay, so it's quite efficient in practice. Okay, so now I will present the game option with call protection, the framework. So everybody knows what is an American option. Yesterday there were several talks on game option. So just an American option which can be called back by the seller of the option at any time between 0 and t. And what is a game option with call protection? Well, it is an option where the seller can call back the option, but only on random intervals. Given by this kind of interval, theta 2L minus 1, theta 2L. And in terms of reflected BSD, you still have a lower boundary, LX, but the upper boundary is now given by U. And on the even interval, the boundary is equal to plus infinity, so there is no boundary, in fact. And on the odd interval, you have the boundary equal to hx. Well, so there is a problem here, but put one and it will be okay. And what we can say also is that American options are the case where there is no call allowed for the seller. The first extreme case, and game option, this is another extreme case, this is when there is no call protection. Okay. Now the question is how do you determine the when the seller can call or not his his or her option, the option? So to do that, we introduce a monitoring, discrete monitoring grid. So let's take for this talk this very simple grid. It has to be finite, but so what happens? For example, for this talk, you are at T0, and you check if the price of the underlying asset is above, say, a level S. And if it is above a level S, then the call is possible, okay, at T0. Then you are at T1, and you check again if the price process is above the level S. And if, say, this time the price process is below the level S, then the call is no more possible on the interval T1, T2. Okay, so here, for this particular path of the price process that I told you, we have a call possible on T0, T1, and call not possible on T1, T2. So this is a very, very simple case. We are able to treat the case where the call protection is, say, highly path dependent. So I give the example of you have many time in the discrete grid, many dates of monitoring, And you say that this is the case L out of D. That means that call is possible if the asset price has been above the boundary on at least L dates of the last day monitoring dates. Okay? So you have to know what happens. You have to keep in memory what where was the price process on the D last monitoring date. So that's why you need the process H. And whether this process H belongs to this a certain set or not, you have the call protection active, or you have the no call protection. Okay, so what is the tool here we use? But clearly, the price, well, not clearly, but the price will be given by a doubly reflected BSD with an intermittent upper boundary. Okay, it's simply speaking, it's a concatenation of a doubly reflected BSD where there is no call protection on the random intervals, and a simply reflected BSD where there is call protection on. Okay, and just to a remark is that the price process Y is can be discontinuous. So I will draw until my scheme. So here is the lower boundary. It's always active, and say you have T1, T0, and T2. And the upper boundary is only active on the T0, T1. Here you have G, the terminal condition. And you have your process, which is an American option, which has to be above the boundary, the below boundary. But here it can be above the also the boundary, the upper boundary. So when the protection turns on, the turns off, in fact, well, the price is given by this value, and then your price is constrained between the two boundaries. Okay, so here you have a discontinuity. And mainly because of this discontinuity, you need to have a discrete set of time, of monitoring time, if you want to retrieve convergence results. You may have a jump, but you have to know where this jump can happen and when. Okay. And here also you have Y, which is given so by the solution of a system of variational inequalities. So this is now a Markov process, X, the couple, X, the pair X and H. And I'll describe quickly what is the system of variational inequality, just to tell you how complex it can be. Okay. On the last interval, I'm doing backward stochastic differential equation. I always think backward in times. So that's an habit now. Okay. So on the last interval, you have the terminal condition G, and you have two case for H, whether H equal 1 or whether H equals 0. So when H equals 1, U is the solution of variational equality for game option. And when H equals 0, it's the variational inequality for American option. And then you work on the time interval T0, T1. And this time, well, it's the same thing. You have two values for H, but now the terminal condition is given by the concatenation of Well, U1 and U0, taking into account the fact that whether X was above or not the boundary S, the trigger level S. So here it's a bit it's complicated, but not so complicated. But imagine the process H as say D components that the conditional terminal condition depends also on where you was on the if the protection was active or not on the interval T0 T1. It's a very big system of variational inequality, and it may become very hard to compute it using using the PDE approach. So the ability to solve numerically the BED related to this PDE are very very is very very important. Okay. Alors, what is the scheme for the BED? Well, first you have to approximate the switching times of call protection, and this is simply done by changing X into XPI, and you obtain new switching. You obtain the approximation of the random intervals where the protection is active or not, and then you use the usual scheme for reflected BDE. Well. Well, now the projection operator takes into account the fact that whether or not the protection is active, whether the protection is active or not. Okay. So here, you always have the American, the lower boundary, and sometimes you have the upper boundary. And the results we obtain with Stéphane is the following. What you have to do is to control first the approximation between the true random intervals of protection or no protection and the approximated ones. And for that you need some regularity, well, regularity on sigma around the trigger level, and also uniform ellipticity on sigma around the trigger level. And you should note that for regular doubly reflected BDE or regular American option, simply reflected BDE, we don't need any ellipticity condition to obtain our result. But here we need some ellipticity condition and sigma around the trigger level, around where there is clearly a problem. So and then we are able to obtain the convergence of the approximated price to the true solution only when F does not depend on Z. And why that? Because in fact an intermittent upper boundary means more or less a very irregular upper boundary, so it's difficult to retrieve the regularity results on Z. And to conclude, I would say that we hope that we'll be able to obtain the regularity results using new results of Gobet and his student Marlouf. For these results are for the non-reflected case, but with irregular terminal condition. And maybe using this result, we will be able to treat the case fully when F depends also on Z. Okay, I'm done, so. I keep the microphone, yeah.